Let me get my mind, let me get my mind right. Yeah, let me get my mind, let me get my mind right.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Millennial Minds, a show where we talk to young professionals and young millennials who are getting into starting their own businesses and really who are reshaping the landscape of business as we know it in today's space. And today we get the opportunity to talk to the one and only Braden Bringhurst, who is the owner of Burst Media. Braden attended BYU on a track and field scholarship, and during his collegiate career, Braden earned the All-American as well as the All-Academic status while earning his bachelor's degree in film. Braden and his wife opened up Burst Media in 2016 and have been growing their business both in Idaho and in Utah. Braden is looking forward to starting his MBA program in August at Boise State University, and he is very passionate about spending quality time with his wife and two daughters here in Boise, and he is also an extreme sports enthusiast, especially in mountain biking and wakeboarding. And let me tell you, if you've ever seen this guy on a mountain bike or a wakeboard, it'll blow your freaking mind. So Braden, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve-O. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Hanging in there.
Good.
So yeah, dude, to kick things off, just tell us a little bit more about you. Kind of what you got going on and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, well, that's a big question there. I definitely have to kind of just say when opportunities come up, I just tend to really think about if it's a good opportunity for me, and if it seems like something that's going to benefit me in my future life, then I'm going to take advantage of it.
What are some opportunities that have come up that you've noticed that you took advantage of and really kind of got you to where you are?
Yeah, you know, one that's most prevalent right now in my life is the fact that I went out and I served a mission, an LDS mission, and came back and I really had no idea what I was going to do with school. And in high school, I kind of messed around a little bit, maybe a little bit too much. And I had, you know, pretty low SAT or ACT scores and low GPAs and stuff like that. And it was pretty hard. I'd go talk to schools. I'd go talk to little colleges. And they pretty much were like, yeah, no, there's no way you're coming here with your grades and stuff. And so I was a little bit flustered on kind of what I was going to do. And I used to pole vault. That was one of the sports that I did in high school, and I was decent at it. But after my mission, I felt like I had just more strength. I just had kind of that man strength that came in, and I don't know what happens between
that old man strength
between 19 and 21, but I definitely got more strength. And I picked up a pole, and I instantly went about 2 feet higher than I ever went in high school.
No kidding. Are you serious?
Yeah, I went 2 feet higher.
So you were doing, weren't you doing like 15 feet in high school?
Yeah, I did 15
feet,
which is good, but it's not going to get you into a big D1 school.
Well, you were like top in the state pole vaulting, weren't you?
Yeah, I guess I won state.
You won state pole vault.
But, you know.
At 15, what was your highest jump?
So in high school, it was 15 feet.
It was 15 even?
15 straight across, yeah. And
that won you state?
And that won me state, yeah. And then, you know, I went on my mission, and I knew that wasn't College Heights. That wasn't something that was really going to give me a future there. But coming home and increasing it up 2 feet to 17 feet, that was
pretty significant. So you jumped 17 feet. You vaulted 17 feet the first time you picked up a pole after your mission.
not quite the first time I picked up a pole, but within a few months of training, I was up there at 17.
And just to put it into context, an LDS mission is what, 2 years?
2 years.
Right? Of no, very little.
Very little.
Lots like strengthening activities.
Lots of treats and lots of tummy rolls.
And where did you go on your mission?
I was in Riverside, California.
Sweet.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
But I came home, did the vault, and increased that instantly. Was getting attention from University of Washington, getting attention from BYU down in Provo. And I told them kind of my situation. I said, hey, look, here's my situation. These are my test scores before we can go any further. And they said, okay, well, let's go ahead and have you study, do this, and then do that. And I just got busy. I just locked myself in my room, just study, yeah. just started studying again to take that dumb ACT. So I did that, went in, got exactly the score I needed to, ended up becoming eligible through the NCAA. BYU accepted me, and went to BYU, competed those 4 years, went 18 feet there, Jeez. And that ranked me amongst the top five in history at BYU.
Holy crap.
And then earned an All-American, got 7th place at the USA Championships. And the funny thing is I really don't love pole vaulting.
Really?
Yeah. I don't. It was an opportunity.
So you just kind of used it as a catalyst to get back into school and to get an education.
Absolutely. I knew that it was a skill that was going to help me for something a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sit here where I'm at now and I just kind of smile and just think, like, I can't believe that when I came home from my mission, schools wouldn't even talk to me. Schools wouldn't even consider me even coming there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this sport of pole vaulting that I was blessed to be able to be skilled in allowed me to go to BYU, get an education, come back to Boise, and now I have a graduate assistantship at Boise State, helping them in the MBA program with the film, with the media, nice. With recruiting. And I just can't help but feel so grateful. And yeah. it's just pretty funny how it's all worked out.
Seriously. So backing up a few steps,
yeah.
How were you able to get the word out to these colleges that you were jumping a collegiate level height?
You know,
just reaching out. Oh, you just straight up called them up.
Yeah, I just called them up and sent them my videos and sent them kind of what I was doing. And I had some coaches, some of my high school coaches, and some other people around town that could validate what I was doing.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. All they had to do was see video, see my story. I mean, the day before I went 17 feet, my pole that allowed me to go 17 feet was in the mail. I mean, I just called up the pole company, bought a new pole because I didn't have any poles that could fling me that high.
Yeah.
So when the schools heard, hey, he's buying his own poles, he's doing this. I mean, this guy, you know, he could do something if that's his mindset. So,
dude,
it was kind of funny how it worked out, but.
Well, and during your college career, you not only earned All-American status, but you also earned the All-Academic status. So tell us more about what the All-Academic status is.
Yeah, so All-Academic, you pretty much have to be competing at a certain level in college athletics. So you have to be reaching like the first round of the NCAA. So you have to be pretty competitive in that space. And you have to be maintaining a certain level of GPA.
Okay.
And you know, BYU, it's a very academic heavy school.
Oh yeah.
And so our team was a very positive environment to study in and get good grades, and that definitely helped me because everybody was focused on getting good grades as well as being competitive in athletics.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got that. But
so BYU is no joke, man. Like, BYU is academically probably one of the toughest schools around. How did you go from being in high school struggling to get good grades and to get good scores on your ACT to then becoming an all-academic, all-American student at a very, very academically tough school?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like probably the biggest indicator was I just had to jump both feet in.
Yeah.
I had to be full in. I had to cut out distractions. I mean, like I said, pole vaulting wasn't my favorite, uh-huh. but I had to cut out mountain biking. I had to cut out wakeboarding. I had to cut out bad foods with school. It was just a reflection of my focus in the pole vault. I had to spend time with tutors. I had to go to reading labs. I had to go to extra whatever. I had to go to this or go to that just so I could I could make it. Yeah. I was so scared. I remember when I got on BYU campus and I had the scholarship, and all of a sudden I had to do all these BYU classes, and I knew what I had come from. I was terrified.
Yeah.
I thought, how am I going to do this? I just want to leave. I just want to go grab my mountain bike and leave. Really? And go ride. Yeah. And I was so scared. And, you know, I guess all that I was able to do was just one day at a time. Say, okay, I can do this. And I went in, took my first big test, and I ended up getting like a B on it. And I thought, hey, I can do this. This is crazy, but I think I can do this.
That's awesome.
So that was kind of it. Just day in, day out, trying to focus on the here and the now, and just ended up working. Yeah.
Hard work pays off, man.
I guess
that's
so.
That's wild. Yeah. That's super cool.
Thanks, man.
That's a big transition.
Yeah, it still kind of blows my mind.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're taking that work ethic and that hard work into what you're doing now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So, talking about grinding now, Burst Media. Tell us a little bit more about Burst Media, what you guys do.
You know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you need to do something you're passionate about. You need to do something you love, because when you do something you love, you're going to do the best work that you can. If you're doing something that you don't really care about, you're going to think, what else can I be doing right now? Like, what? Yeah. I need to be doing this, or I need to be doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I went into my film degree back at BYU, because I love film. I've always loved film. I've always loved making movies. I've always loved capturing
I remember back in high school, even.
Yeah.
When we go like mountain biking, snowboarding, whatever. There's Braden doing something crazy, jumping off massive rocks with his camera and doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, we always, you know exactly that. You know, we always are trying to document our crazy stuff, our longboarding, this, that. We were always filming.
We did crazy stuff.
And it was fun to put those shots together and make something. So I knew that I loved film, and trying to figure out something else in the academic world that I loved was just really tough for me. So I figured, you know what? I got to stick to that rule. Do what you love. So I did that and then graduated. And between semesters, since I have a wife and kids, you know, a scholarship is great, but it's not covering all your expenses.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I would go out and I would sell pest control in the summers.
Cool.
So I would go out door-to-door sales. Hey, you need pest control? Great, let's get you set up. You got bugs? I can help you out. So did the pest control, and that money each year allowed us to live through school and graduate and have no student debt or no debt.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was a huge blessing. And the last year was coming up, and since it was film, you don't usually come out of film school with a film job. Yeah. So I thought, okay, let's go sell again. And just, you know, sell the full summer. Now that I don't have track distracting me, I can sell for the full 4 months and see how much we can make. And we went out there and just worked my butt off, and we were able to, you know, make a good chunk of money.
Uh-huh.
And we thought, okay, what should we do with this money? Should we invest it in ourselves, invest it in something, or should we buy something nice? And me and my wife talked about it, and we felt like, hey, you know what? Let's invest it in little film business. I think we could do pretty well. We have a lot to learn. We're not that good.
Yeah.
We're in a super competitive market down in Utah.
Seriously.
And but let's just give it a shot. So, you know, we bought probably close to $20,000 in camera gear and in computers and lenses and drones and audio equipment and all of this stuff. And, you know, we didn't even have that many jobs lined up.
How many jobs? So, tell us about that. How many jobs did you have lined up when you put down that initial capital expenditure?
Oh, let's see. We probably had 2 or 3 jobs lined up.
Okay. So you
hardly anything.
You had a point where it was like, we need to get some equipment to be legitimate in this space.
Yeah.
We have these two contracts.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So we knew like, okay, like if we're going to be making these videos, we got to be putting out a good product.
Yeah.
Because people, I mean, we feel like an obligation to do a good job.
Yeah.
And we want to have tools that can allow us to do that. So it's okay. We got to get what we got to get. Let's do it. And so we did that. We pretty much, the first year, we didn't pretty much, we flat out broke even.
Yeah.
Expenses versus money brought in, we broke even. And that was...
That's big.
Yeah, it was great. No, it was great. And you being a financial guy, I'm sure you probably know more than we do, but I just know you got to keep your income more than your debt. So that's kind of what we did. And we thought, okay, like we broke even this next year. Let's go ahead, up our prices and try to, and we have the equipment now, you know, we'll put money aside for continual upgrading equipment, but let's go ahead and up our prices. And
yeah.
And, so we did that, and this year we're in, what, July right now, and
yep.
I think we've had close to, let's see, 20, 25 to 30 weddings.
Holy cow.
And our average is only, you know, probably 18 to 2500 a wedding.
Uh-huh.
So we're not talking major money here, but we're actually still talking money. Like,
yeah.
We're able to live this year, and
that's huge.
Yeah, and
especially
I feel like
you going back to school. And...
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's great for us where we're at right now. It's not
yeah.
where we want to be.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
But the progression and the energy's there where we're progressing and we're trying to figure it out.
For
and
sure.
And it's been real fun.
For sure. So what are your goals? Where do you see Burst Media being in the next 2 to 5 years? Where do you want to take it?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a company in town called Soundwave. They've taken DJing and dance floors at weddings real serious. And his the owner of that company's brother is a big mountain biker, so I mountain bike with him, and he is going to get me lined up with him. But he's taken DJing and dance floors to a whole new level. They have 20 employees.
Wow.
They're doing, you know, 5 to 8 weddings a weekend.
Holy cow.
Or events. And
yeah.
He's really scaled that business. There's another company, my wife's cousin down in Arizona runs a company called Serendipity, and they do wedding films on the same kind of thing. They do 5 to 7 weddings a weekend.
Holy cow.
They have teams of 2 to 3 that go out there, capture the wedding, come back. There's editors, and
yeah.
they can kind of scale it that way. I am trying to really consider that and really think if that's where I want to take it.
Okay.
Because I think that that's going to be a source of very good income for me and my family.
Yeah.
Or continue to do individual weddings, just continue to up the price and make it even more expertise,
yeah.
intimate type film.
Yeah.
For just me and my wife. So it's one or the other. I feel like if we go with the more company based, the quality of our videos are going to have to kind of come down a little
yeah.
bit. The
yeah.
simplicity of them.
Yeah.
If we do more expensive videos and keep it between my wife and I, and then we, you know, we hand out the editing to someone else.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'll do. I don't know. It's a toss up.
Yeah.
It's a total toss up. That's what I'm debating right now, is kind of which direction I feel like. Because getting my MBA, it's going to help me kind of
yeah,
know how to manage and
side
do
better.
A business thing. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, so
that's a tough decision.
A little, yeah, I'm a little up in the air, as
yeah.
you can tell.
That's funny. So I mean, dude, that's cool. You guys have seen
Thanks.
A lot of growth in the past 2 years because you
yeah.
started at 16,
mm-hmm.
and. That's good.
We started the end of
here.
16, yeah. So we pretty much had all 17 in this year. So we're almost 2 years.
Almost two
old.
Years out.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Would you say your market's bigger here in Idaho, or is it bigger in Utah?
The problem is Utah, there is so many videographers and
okay.
so many photographers that your prices have to be really low.
Yeah.
There's a huge market, but there's so many
yeah.
businesses that do that.
Yeah.
You can't charge the amount where it's almost worth it.
Yeah.
Where here in Idaho, people recognize quality, and the fact that we came from that competitive, because we've only lived here 6 months. We moved back in, you know, in January
yeah.
back to Idaho, and the fact that we're here now and we got that crash course down in Utah competing against all those big dogs.
Yeah.
We're not the top in this town or in this area, but we're one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are willing to spend because that's what's here. And
yeah.
and that's been kind of nice.
Well, I mean, yeah. And for those who haven't who are listening who haven't seen some Verse Media wedding films, go check them out because they are seriously top-notch films.
Well, thanks, man.
I follow a lot of like film people on Instagram and social media and stuff like that. And you guys are the only ones that I'll actually sit and watch that minute-long video because they're sweet videos.
Cool.
But with that said, how did being here, being in Boise, Idaho for only 6 months and yet scaling it to where you've done as many weddings as you have this year during wedding season, obviously, what are some avenues that you use to grow your business that rapidly within the past 6 months to where you're at now?
Yeah, so we do a few different things. You know, we think that you gotta do it multiple ways. And my wife, she is such a hard worker and is always thinking outside the box. And one thing that there's a few things, but one thing that she's done is she'll go on Facebook, and it's kind of funny, but she'll, I guess, kind of like Facebook stalk people.
Yeah.
And like look up people that got engaged, and she'll message them and say, hey, you know, we're a film company in town, and you guys, congrats on getting engaged. Just want to let you know we're happy to help you out with your films. So she's done that a few times, and we're doing a wedding this weekend that she did that too.
Yeah.
So,
really?
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
sweet.
She's done that, just straight going up to people pretty
straight
much.
Straight direct outreach.
Direct outreach. Another source is a website called Thumbtack.
Okay.
Thumbtack is kind of like a glorified, a little bit better than like Craigslist or something.
Okay.
You basically, people need a service, so they'll type in wedding videography, and then we'll get an alert that says, hey, so-and-so's looking for a videographer, and then we'll quote, and we'll pay money to send a quote to them.
Cool.
That's been really good. The tough thing with that website is you get people that are really trying to get the most for the absolute
least amount. For
yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of like tiring on us on the back end, where we promised a 45-minute edit with a highlight and an Instagram teaser, and it just gets too much.
Yeah.
So that was a really good source for us last year, really starting out, kind of getting from nothing.
Getting the word out there.
Getting our portfolio built up. And then the last one that, other than referrals and just like Instagrams and stuff like that, is wedding shows. I mean, we go to wedding shows. We have our booth. We have our TVs. We have headphones for people to watch and hear the audio. Cool.
Yeah.
And that's been a really good one, because that's, I mean, when people come and they sit there and they watch your video with you right next to you, have the headphones on, they can hear those people reading their vows and teary-eyed. And they just think, I want this.
Yeah.
You know, so wedding shows, just kind of all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, we're just, you just gotta get out there and do whatever you can to find that business. And that's kind of how we've gone about finding business. There's no one way.
Yeah, seriously. That's cool. So you work a lot with your wife, with your spouse, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is she as passionate as you are in the film area? Is there, how are you guys working so successfully together in order to make it work? I know there's a lot of mom and pop shops basically is out there doing stuff, and a lot of times they'll butt heads and there's a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys kind of manage that and play different roles and make sure that you're both working hard
that's a great question. You know, I think in the business world you can get pretty caught up on the numbers. You can get pretty caught up on your results, and if that's all you're focused on, I think you're gonna have issues with who you're working with. My wife and I, she 100% is full committed. She loves it. And I think when we're editing these videos and we watch them come together and we see these moments of these people's lives just be changed right in front of our eyes, in front of our cameras, and we're pushing that record button, there's an insane amount of just responsibility, adrenaline. It's just incredible. And then you put that together and you give that to them and they see it, and just the payoff is so high. And we just, first off, you know, we've been married 7 years. We have two kids. We love our marriage. We love our kids. We love our family. And so working in this environment, it's really fun. And we have a lot to learn, like I was saying earlier, like with the business aspect of it. And that's something I'm really excited to learn at Boise State. But I would say for the most part, working with her, we both have strengths, we both have weaknesses, and I think overall it allows Burst Media to be so much better than it would be if it was just me trying to do it or just her. I mean, she's so good working with these brides.
Yeah.
She's so good in so many ways. I mean, she's... I would say she's a much harder worker than I am. So it's not like, you know, I'm the film guy and she's tagging along and doing the dirty work. It's like, no, she's 100%.
That's awesome.
Burst Media, and I'm trying to keep up. You know, I think we complement each other really well. And
that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's great. Dude, let's transition a little bit here.
Okay.
So you're a grinder. You get out, you make things happen. Tell me a little bit about your daily routines and kind of what you go through and how you get yourself into that consistent mindset of always working hard, your hardest, and being at the top of your game.
Yeah, thanks, man. That's nice of you to say. I think one thing that helps me is, you know, I just try to have clear objectives. You know, like on my phone right here, you can see it. I have, it's called a picture goal. It's like pictures of my goals
on
my phone.
That's awesome.
So every day I look at this and I have a picture of a house. I have a picture of a guy holding a little girl saying number one dad. I have a certificate of a MBA on there. I have some money. I have a temple because I want to do my faith and worship, make that a priority in my life. I have a little guy on a bike. Because I love bike riding.
Yeah.
I have a vacation, like a island, and then I have number one husband. So, you know, I guess I just try to surround myself with the things that I want to excel in. And one thing that I've done that has helped me stay focused is every day I set an objective, or at least most days I try. I'm not the best, but I'll set an objective, and then I'll set like three things that I'm going to do to accomplish that objective. And afterwards, I take three things that I did well that day and I write them down.
Okay.
So I'm feeling like, okay, I did these three things good.
Yeah.
And then I do one thing that I need to improve.
Okay.
And it's actually a book. It's called The Fearless Mind. It's from Craig Manning.
Cool.
And he has this program where you're focusing on the positive. You have two to three things you're focusing on, because I'm sure you know, if you try to focus on too much, you just feel bombarded.
Oh, yeah.
You just feel weighed down.
Yeah.
So when you have one, two, three things you're really focusing on, not even one, if you have one, you have a little bit of extra space in your mind where you can come up with other things to do. But if you have two to three things that you're focused on for that day, and you keep pulling your mind back to those two to three things to accomplish that task, I mean, that's probably the main thing that I do, is just set an objective, two to three things to accomplish it.
Yeah.
Accomplish it, and then I go have fun, do whatever I want.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Yeah.
That's cool. So getting more to the routines themselves.
Yeah.
You were telling me before we jumped on this podcast about your little morning this morning. Tell us about what you did this morning and how often do you do stuff like that?
So I was telling Steven, I went out and rode my bike this morning. I got up at 5, hit the trail by 6 or 5:56, and then I was showered and ready to rock by 8:30.
Okay, but this isn't just some some regular bike ride around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You ascended a full mountain
and
then descended.
Yeah.
Within a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love mountain biking. It's something that I've gotten into since I graduated from BYU. I just love the fact that I can go climb this mountain, get on top of the world from where I can see, and just have a few minutes of, you know, deep breaths and just thinking, okay, let's do this. And then I love the adrenaline rush of coming down, and hitting jumps and going over sharp rocks and just knowing if I crash, I'm toast.
Yeah.
But I just love the adrenaline rush, and then I get in my car, drive home, and I feel like, okay, that was awesome. Let's get busy. But, you know, I don't do that every day. I do that 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
And it's not... I'm a big believer in balance. You know, if you're one too hardcore in one thing, I think you're going to be missing out on other things to ultimately give you the most happiness. So I feel like the moment bike riding is taking too much time, then I back that off. Or if I feel like I need more bike riding, I go bike ride to feel like I need a little more balance. So
yeah.
I think daily... And I guess you were asking about the rituals, like the day-to-day yeah. rituals of what I do.
Yeah.
I don't do anything like the same every day.
Okay.
I just, I can just tell if some days I need to go hard in the paint all day,
yeah.
or some days I can kind of not be quite as hardcore.
Okay.
So it's more go with the flow. If I feel, okay, I got to get this done, let's go. And
yeah.
So that's the kind of business I'm in. I can do that with film. You know, I need to stay up till one this morning and edit.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs you can't, you know, people like where you're working with businesses, jobs aren't open that late. So you
yeah.
can't obviously work those hours.
But... Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, as we wrap things up,
mm-hmm.
first off, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
To chat with me.
Yeah.
It's been fun. It's been a good little chat. Nice to catch up. But I kind of want to end with, what sets you apart? What sets you apart from other people out there doing film, from other people out there who are grinding every day? What sets you apart?
I think the thing that sets us apart is our connection with our clients. You know, before the wedding, we take them to a coffee shop, get them a croissant, get them hot chocolate, apple cider, whatever, kick back with them, just get to know them. During the wedding, they're all incredibly comfortable with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we the last two weddings we've had, one guy gave us $100 tip. One guy,
no kidding,
told us he loved us. the one a few days ago said, let's get together next week and hang out.
No,
you know?
Kidding.
Yeah. And I think I look at a lot of the other vendors out there and there's no even at all closeness
yeah.
that they get to these clients. And so I think that's probably... We have a great product. We're not the best, but we have a great product. We do a great video. We capture emotion, and that's all good. And that's something that we strive for. But I think just connecting to these people and making
yeah.
it a really great experience is what's different
yeah.
from us and other companies.
Cool. That's awesome, man.
Thanks, man.
Well, Braden, it's been real.
Yeah, it has, brother.
Let's go mountain bike. Let's go mountain bike.
Yeah. Let me get my mind right. You know everything is alright. You know everything is alright.